You're listening to AIB Market Talk, bringing you financial market insights from AIB's experts.
Hello and welcome to our Market Talk podcast. Today is Thursday, the 28th of March. I'm Stuart Banks from AIB Treasury and I'm joined today by John Fahey from AIB's Economic Unit to discuss today's market developments. John, last week was a busy one with numerous central bank policy meetings, including the Bank of England and the Federal Reserve in the US. What did we learn from these meetings?
Yeah, thanks, Stuart. Yeah, we've had a busy few weeks, if you include even 2 weeks before that, the ECB. So if we first address last week, we had the Bank of England and the Fed. No surprise in terms of meeting outcomes there. Both left their policy on hold. Just the specifics around the Bank of England. So the rate was left on hold at 5.25%. Now, this was the fifth consecutive meeting where the MPC left rates unaltered. There was a bit of a change, though, when you look at the voting breakdown. It was interesting. There was a double shift there. There was no longer two members voting for a rate hike. So the split now was 8-1. So that is a dovish shift. And it does suggest, you know, that within the majority or the centre ground within the Bank of England, they are moving towards the point of more closer consideration of rate cuts. Subsequent to the meeting, interestingly, comments from Governor Bailey. He was reported as saying that rate cuts are in play at upcoming meetings. So a bit of an update there on that side. There was no press conference this month. So, you know, his interview that he was given after that, I think was in the FT, was interesting from that perspective. And if you look at what's happened, UK rate expectations post the Bank of England meeting, they have softened over the past week or so. And the market now, in terms of pricing, is pricing in around 70 basis points of cuts from the BUE. Turning to the Fed, as I said, similar to the BUE, no rate changes there. And that was also the fifth meeting in a row where they were on hold. Now, the big focus coming into the meeting was on the dot plot. This is their interest rate projections. And what we saw there was the dot plot left unaltered for 2024, and that's where the focus was. So they're still guiding 75 basis points of rate cuts between now and the end of the year. And, you know, the market had been kind of moving towards positioning that they may go to 50. So the reaction afterwards, we saw the dollar weaken fairly temporarily in the immediate aftermath of that because they maintained it at 75 basis points for this year. And what we saw with market expectations is that for this year, market expectations are broadly in line now with where the Fed is. You know, the market has roughly 75 basis points of rate cuts priced in as well. And then last, but obviously by no means least, just to capture it, because we haven't had a podcast since the ECB meeting. Similar to the Fed and BOE, no rate changes there. In terms of guidance on the rate outlook from the ECB, you know, continue to guide that it will ensure rates are at sufficiently restrictive levels for as long as it is necessary. Now, the ECB did acknowledge the disinflationary trend in headline inflation, but it also noted that domestically generated inflation, specifically in the services sector and wage growth, is something that they're paying close attention to. Now, President Lagarde stated in a question when she was responding in the press conference that they did not discuss rate cuts at the meeting, and she continued to stress that we're very much the ECB is in data-dependent mode, but we did get more elaboration around potential timelines of rate cuts. She referenced the fact that they'd have a little data in April, but a lot more for June. So, you know, as close you can get to getting guidance of timing, you know, the ball is very much centred around that June meeting for a rate cut.
Okay, thanks, John. And last week also we saw the Bank of Japan raised rates for the first time in 17 years, bringing an end to their negative interest rate policy. And also the Swiss National Bank were the first of the G10 to actually cut rates. You might touch on this for our listeners.
Yeah, so, you know, that was widely expected in terms of the speculation had been in the lead up to that BOJ meeting that they would finally move out of that. And if you look at, you know, where we've seen over the last 2 to 3 years, the Bank of Japan has been out of sync with obviously the Fed, the ECB, and the Bank of England in terms of it's been continuing to implement an ultra-accommodative monetary policy stance. So as you said, it's the first rate hike since 2007 and the first time that it's moved out of its negative interest rate strategy that's been in place since 2016. The vote from the BOJ was 7-2 in favour. But interestingly,
The communications and the output post the meeting were fairly dovish in tone. So they didn't give any great indication that we're now on a sustained tightening path from the BOJ. So as a result of that, despite the rate hike, the yen actually weakened in the aftermath of the BOJ meeting just because of those dovish signals coming from the BOJ. So that was interesting in terms of, you know, the guidance we got was not like suggesting that we're on a definitive sustained rate or pace of rate hikes. And you referenced there the SMB. Yeah, so it was a little bit of surprise versus market expectations. They cut by 25 basis points to 1.5 from 1.75. So the consensus was maybe for no change. There was a bit of uncertainty in relation to it. But there was, given where inflation had been moving, it's fallen sharply since the SNB's last meeting. The risk was that if they were going to do anything, they could cut rates rather than leave them on hold. And more rate cuts are coming, so the SNB said that they'll continue to monitor developments of inflation closely and will adjust monetary policy again if necessary. And as I said, the backdrop is inflation has fallen sharply in the last couple of months, so it does look as if we could see more rate cuts coming from the SNB.
And John, given it's the last week of March, it's probably appropriate to review FX activity for quarter one. You might touch on that, what's happened in the last quarter FX-wise and what the outlook is for the rest of the year.
Yeah, well, generally speaking, Stuart, when you look at the majors and the three key major pairs that we look at, euro, dollar, euro, sterling and cable, sterling against the dollar, what we've seen is fairly narrow ranges on a year-to-date basis. You know, we started the year in euro-dollar above 110. The low for the year was just below 107. So really we've been in 107 to 110 range, and even more recently we've been in a very narrow 108 to 109 range. So, you know, any trading that's happened has been within those ranges. What we've seen as the quarter has progressed, after the starting the quarter above 110 and then for much of the first half been, you know, under pressure euro dollar, we've seen it get back up above that 108 level, test up towards 110 but not be able to break above it. So, you know, at the moment 110 is the high water mark for euro dollar. And in terms of euro sterling, exceptionally narrow trading ranges, apart from a very brief period back in the middle of February where it traded below 85p, and that was a low of 84.99. We've been in basically an 85 to 87p trading range, and even if you strip out the brief period above 86p, we've been in an 85 to 86p trading range for the last number of weeks. So the reason for that, I suppose, is in the narrow ranges is all the central banks are on hold at the moment. There's no huge differentiation there then because of an interest rate viewpoint. And in terms of our outlook or our bias, though, would be as we move through this year, is for some dollar weakening. And we've seen a little bit in the last couple of weeks, a slightly softer tone, which has got euro dollar back above 108. We did trade above 109 again temporarily, but that 110 is still the kind of key level that euro dollar has to break through. So we would have a bias for maybe some slight dollar weakening over the course of this year. In other words, euro and sterling, you know, edge higher against the dollar over the course of the year, but nothing major in terms of any breakout of any substantial ranges. Interestingly, what has stood out in the last couple of weeks is we've seen that renewed weakness from the yen. So where the yen initially benefited from the speculation the early part of the year of the BOJ finally starting to increase interest rates, given, as we discussed earlier, about the communications and the dovish signals, you know, at the moment, as we talk today, you know, your dollar against the yen is up at 34-year highs, up close to that 152 level. So, you know, the yen remains under pressure amongst those majors. But amongst sterling, dollar and the euro, those three currencies and their relative pairs, it's, you know, Q1 has still been defined by fairly narrow range trading.
And John, where do markets see interest rates by the end of the year?
Well, when we take together what we've seen over the last couple of weeks in terms of all the central bank meetings, what we've seen since the start of the year is actually market rate expectations have firmed. In other words, the markets compared to the 1st of January is anticipating less rate cuts than previous, because all the communications from the central banks have been we need more data to be confident that it's time to start cut rates, and because core inflation remains sticky. So when you combine all those things together, the market's now anticipating less rate cuts. At the start of the year, you know, at different stages for the different ECB, BOE, Fed, you know, the market anywhere between 100 to 150 basis points priced in. So what the market has priced in now for the ECB is in around 90 to 100 basis points. So that would see the deposit rate get back down towards 3% potentially by the end of the year. And a reference there for the Fed, the market's closely aligned with the Fed projections, 75 basis points of rate cuts over the remainder of the year. The Bank of England, we've seen a bit of movement there, as I said, over the last week following that meeting and the communications from Governor Bailey subsequent to the meeting and the dovish shift in the vote there. So the market's got roughly 75 basis points priced in between now and the end of the year. So that would see the bank rate finish the year back at 4.5%. So we would have said at the start of the year that the market was expecting too much in terms of rate cuts. We think now what's priced in there seems more sensible to what we're hearing from the central banks.
Okay, John, we'll leave it there for today. Thank you as always for your insights, and thanks also to our customers for listening in. To stay up to date with the markets, please press the subscribe button to AIB's Market Talk or wherever you get your podcasts. Talk to you again soon.
Thanks for listening to the latest edition of AIB Market Talk. Allied Irish Banks PLC is regulated by the Central Bank of Ireland. AIB NI is a trademark used under licence by AIB Group UK PLC, authorised by the Prudential Regulation Authority and regulated by the Financial Conduct Authority and the Prudential Regulation Authority. Allied Irish Bank GB and Allied Irish Bank GB Savings Direct are trademarks used under licence by AIB Group UK PLC, authorised by the Prudential Regulation Authority and regulated by the Financial Conduct Authority and the Prudential Regulation Authority.